You're tuned to KRTS, Marfa Public Radio, 93.5 FM. I'm Rachel Lindley. Thank you so much for joining us for the second installment of Talk at 10 today. I'm joined on the line by Christy McClear. She's the executive director of the Robert Rauschenberg Foundation, and they're participating in this weekend's Marfa Dialogues and Carpet 13. Hi, Christy. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, first, of course, Robert Rauschenberg is a very prolific and famous artist. He was called the forerunner of virtually every post-war American art movement since abstract expressionism, and he worked in many different mediums, always challenging himself and finding new ways to create art. And this foundation was actually started while he was still alive and now is just now moving into this new stage of grant making. So I was hoping you can tell us a little bit about what the foundation's starting and now what the Start Foundation is working to do.
Sure. You know, Bob is an artist who has always been and always was tremendously philanthropic. He started the foundation in the 1980s, and he already had several decades of sort of philanthropic or even activist activity under his belt, from doing the first Earth Day poster to exchanging artwork along with Jasper Johns and Cy Twombly to provide healthcare for artists in the 70s. So it was not a surprise that he wanted to take the proceeds from the sale of his artwork, and this is where he came up with the idea that art, he used to say art could change the world, and he would take the proceeds from the sale and he would direct it back to the artistic community. He developed a nonprofit called Change, which helped artists in emergency needs. And now, since his death several years ago, we've taken all of the assets from his estate and converted it into the foundation. So I believe that the philanthropic spirit will grow greatly. And we're very pleased to be supporting Ballroom Marfa, and particularly this exhibition and the dialogues in terms of what it's touching that were really interesting to Bob.
And what are some of those elements that attracted you guys so much to working with the Ballroom Project?
You know, Ballroom is one of about a dozen of our first grantees in a new grant program focused on artistic innovation and collaboration. And Ballroom was one of the organizations we invited because they have such a pioneering spirit, we loved something in their mission statement, which is about significant cultural impact and commissioning works that would have that impact, using art to have a new lens. And those were things that really resonated with the values of the foundation. We invited them to send us a proposal, and they sent us this on Carbon 13, which we just loved. We loved it for many reasons, but one of them was about the theme of art and the environment. And it has an activist tone also, which we believed was really in the spirit of Rauschenberg. So those things combined, it was really sort of a no-brainer for us in terms of helping fund this project. We're very excited.
And we also still have David Buckland, the curator of Carbon 13, in the studio. I was hoping maybe we could bring you into this conversation. David, can you tell us a little bit more about the getting this funding to work on this exhibition you curated from the Rauschenberg Foundation?
Yeah, I mean, just actually being associated with Bob Rauschenberg is a personal pleasure. He really was one of the most significant artists. And I think also, you know, the statement that art can change the world, that he really saw his art as something that could influence societies going forward and actually probably predict where they're going through his vision and his great excitement. So being associated with that spirit, I think, is very important for the Carbon 13 show. We always sort of say with climate that, it, you know, we're talking a future truth here. This is something that's we have to act now for something that will happen in the future. And I think it's very important that artists are potentially, they have the capability and the vision like Robert to kind of look into the future and make it real in a way, to kind of make some kind of representation of what is happening and what changes are happening to society.
And just hearing your conversation earlier about the show, I think it really does speak to what you were mentioning, Christy, the values of the foundation, this risk-taking, innovation, and collaboration, seeing as this this Carbon 13, along with the Marfa Dialogues, is something that can bring in artists as well as scientists and area experts on and things like climate change.
Yeah, I love the idea that we're taking an artistic lens on a scientific issue, and it couldn't be fortified more in the fact that David now has an article in a Nature magazine. So it's an artistic lens interpreting a really significant issue. And, you know, these works and these artists will go into the world, and this issue will become more accessible, more interesting, more engaging, and I think it will be much more thought-provoking in that way. That's very much in tune with the way Bob was, and so we really applaud all these artists for that. You know, one other thing I loved about it is sort of the multidisciplinary nature of how this is being presented. From, you know, there's some performance elements, there are some speakers engaging the audience in it, there's sculpture, there's fine arts, there's so many different ways, viewpoints into this issue, and different components of the issue, from the fire to the combustion engine. I was just, you know, I learned something by reading their grant application about this issue.
No, that's great. We're talking with Christy McClear. She is the executive director of the Robert Rauschenberg Foundation. And as you mentioned earlier, Christy, this is the first year that the foundation has taken it on in their mission to start this artistic innovation and collaboration grants. And that's one of these grants that Ballroom Marfa received. But I was reading a little bit more about things that you've written. And you particularly find interest in the fact that the idea of the artist-endowed foundation is growing. And it's becoming a much more important part of the art world and philanthropic giving and the creation of new art.
It's so exciting. You know, I think when you grow up, you realize that many artists sort of die poor and their art becomes elevated in value after time. And it's only, you know, there's a new generation of people, of artists, who garnered wealth during their career. The Warhol Foundation has a long legacy of supporting the artistic community in a really wonderful way. And we're so pleased to join them. The great thing about the Artist Foundation community is it is not competitive, it's additive, and that's a wonderful community to be a part of. So the more artists who can contribute back to both artistic exploration or risk-taking, all of those investments will certainly mirror the interests of the artists themselves. But we're pleased to join that community and reinvest in it. I think that because Bob had really strong values and he had really boundary-pushing values, we're really looking forward to our investments being in that line. And that's wonderful because I think it counterbalances some of perhaps where money might be have gone in a more conservative bent in the arts. So we really look forward to strengthening the shift toward real exploration on issues, on artistic practice, even on things like, you know, how can arts affect change and viewpoints in healthcare, in the environment, and in education.
As you said, really pushing the boundaries of where art ends and traditional, more traditional viewpoints.
Right, right. We have some other exciting things going on. We are going to be opening up Bob's home and studio as a residency. This is in Captiva, Florida. We're going to be moving into a pilot year starting this fall into the next year. And it will be sort of a renewed version of a Black Mountain College model where you'll have different artists and writers, filmmakers coming from different disciplines. And, you know, you never know what will come out of that, what sort of inspired thoughts will come out of that environment. But it's truly a beautiful, beautiful place in our world. And Bob had tried very hard to preserve the environmental conditions of Captiva. So this is a great sort of low-density use and also continuing his legacy that way.
And you mentioned Robert, or Bob as you call him. He actually he attended Black Mountain College, right? Or did he teach there as well?
No, he attended there.
Okay.
Yeah, He did.
That great educational experiment in North Carolina. I wish it would have continued going on. I would have loved to have gone there. But, you know. Leah, you're speaking about the Artist Foundation. And now, according to some of the things that you've written on the Rauschenberg Foundation website, nearly 50%, there's been a nearly 50% increase in the last decade of the number of artist-endowed foundations. And that's creating over $950 million in charitable disbursements for arts that have been given out in the past 15 years. And that really is going to make a significant impact on the community. And I'm really excited for y'all that you've been able to move this direction in 2012.
Yeah, I think it will continue to grow. We have a 15-year plan for increasing our philanthropic activity. And, you know, we're really only one player in a field that will grow. You know, Cy Twombly, sadly we lost him this last year, but his foundation has already started to make movements into the world. And I think that you're going to see a number of other artist foundations emerging this in the coming, you know, next 5 or 10 years. So this field will grow significantly. And that's a wonderful thing for our industry as a whole in terms of the investment made back. But it's not to say that it should cannibalize other efforts. You know, corporate funding, individual funding, and even governmental funding is incredibly important. So it's really about sort of a compositional mix about how we invest back in the arts and the strengthening of that. So we are just really pleased to always support the community in the very way that Bob did, and I have to say in the very way that Ballroom Marfa does, because they evidence within a wonderful town that's imbued with artistic practice, Ballroom Marfa really has a significant cultural impact. So they're doing a great job of fulfilling their mission.
And something else that you're working on that I just wanted to mention before we ran out of time, the Rauschenberg Foundation is actually behind the publication of a new book of Robert Rauschenberg's photographs.
Oh, it's so beautiful. It's a Schirmer Mosel book. It just came out in a variety of languages. And, you know, Bob, in many ways, was a photographer as an artist. A lot of these are early photographs. They were taken in Black Mountain College. They were taken on travels with Cy Twombly. They were taken, and so they capture not only a time period, but also they capture Bob's artistic capability as a photographer that you see throughout his work. Many photographs were appropriated in the early years, and many he took later that he used in his work, in the work from the 80s and 90s and 2000s. So photography was a backbone to Bob's work, and I think that's a great book, if you can grab it. I bet it's at the bookstore.
It probably is, yes. and I was hoping we can get David into the conversation just once more. Christy McClear of the Robert Rauschenberg Foundation is our guest right now. We also have David Buckland, the curator for Carbon 13. So you're talking about this this new influx of money from artist endowed foundations and how they're helping to fund some of these projects and commission some of these works. I was interested about what the collaborative relationship, if any, there is between these grant-making bodies and then the curators, and how, if all, David, that informs your work.
I mean, I just want to underline something that Christy was saying, is that you're talking about the new generation of artists, and quite often now they don't make objects. So whatever they make is very, very difficult for it to have a market value. And so they're moving into a new, quite active territory that, in a way, the only way that they can do this work is the fact that things like the Rauschenberg Foundation exist, or the Warhol Foundations. So this new kind of art that the artists want to do is very dependent on different kind of income streams. And I think it just underlines just how important Christie's work is with the foundation itself, the Rauschenberg Foundation. Mm-hmm. And but at the same time, I mean, one of the artists we didn't, Amy Balkan is one of the ones that I didn't mark, but she's done a beautiful work, which, you know, you will see it when you come to the show. But she also came up with this idea of actually said, wouldn't it be wonderful if we made the atmosphere a World Heritage Site? And it's just that one statement almost, you know, that would be done and dusted if we just give the atmosphere that value. And I think it needed an artist to come up with that kind of I don't know, inspirational kind of thinking. But, you know, I mean, that's got no value on the marketplace. But, you know, thank God that Amy sent it. But, it, the Rauschenberg, the grants allow us and the ballroom allow work like Amy's and all of the others to exist. And I think that's so important.
Christy, do you have any comments on that?
Oh, my gosh, I couldn't agree more. I mean, I think that when you look at really forward-thinking and pioneering artistic practice, there has to be support for things that have no commercial exchange. You know, we actually have a project space on 19th Street, and we've dedicated it to Bob's work that really doesn't have a commercial value. It's largely things like costumes and stage sets and the art and technology movement, which he did as an intellectual exercise, as a real exploration. And, you know, those things are very difficult to sell in a gallery market. And all of the pieces that you're going to see in this show that David has curated are really intelligent pieces. They're thinking pieces and they're viewpoint pieces. And they're not necessarily designed, you know, to hang on somebody's wall. But the power, much of it resides in that. So it is one of the reasons we feel so strongly about commissioning this type of work.
Because it's important and interesting artwork that should exist regardless of whether or not it does have a value on the commercial art marketplace.
Yeah, it's really about artistic thought and exchange.
You were mentioning Robert Rauschenberg's interest in the idea of art and technology being mixed, and throughout his life he was always looking for new materials and new technology. And I wasn't aware of this until just recently, but he actually started a group that, as you said, dealt with art and technology and actually brought together artists and engineers to collaborate together. Can you just tell me a little bit more about that? Because it was something in his biography that I wasn't aware of until just recently, and it seemed really fascinating.
It's so interesting because this area, he formed an alliance with a scientist, Billy Kluver, and they worked with a lot of the scientists from Bell Labs. And, you know, a lot of things came out of it, like Nine Evenings. You had artists, I think the young Frank Stella was there hitting a tennis ball, and as the tennis ball would go across the net, then the light would go out. You know, and some people would leave, and they were scratching their heads. I heard some people say, I just really didn't even know what I was being involved in. But as you look back, you know, it was really about experimental behavior and how did art and technology come together. Bob, even in our own collection, he had a number of pieces from all of these explorations. You could even relate John Cage's music to that because he was sort of a very thoughtful both composer, artist, scientist, all wrapped up into one. And this area is one of the ones that I get some of the most inquiry on from young people because they're very interested in the convergence between these two disciplines.
Well, and good luck to the foundation in the future for finding more projects like this to work at and more collaborations like this to fund.
Thank you so much. So excited to be there for the opening.
Well, yeah, we just have a few more minutes left. I'm speaking with Christy McClear. She's the executive director of the Robert Rauschenberg Foundation, which has helped with Carbon 13 that is opening this weekend in collaboration with Ballroom Marfa's big weekend of the Marfa Dialogues. And that'll be the Marfa Dialogues will be at the Crowley Theater. The Carbon 13 opening will be at Ballroom Marfa. So, Christy, I have to ask, you've heard a lot about the show. You've talked with David. The Robert Rauschenberg Foundation is providing funding for it. But you haven't been down here yet. You haven't seen the show.
I have not. I'm in Houston. I'm on my pilgrimage to Marfa as we speak.
And I imagine you're really looking forward to the whole experience, seeing it come together.
Yeah, it should be great. And I cannot believe all the things that are going on down there. So I think that it's the epicenter of the world.
Well, at least it might be this weekend. There's a lot of stuff going on from Ballroom Marfa. And remember, you can go to that opening for Carbon 13. It is on Friday. All of these events are free. And then Saturday and Sunday, there'll be readings at the Crowley Theater in Marfa and at the Marfa Book Company, all part of the Marfa Dialogues. And a Marfa Public Radio will be broadcasting many of those talks Saturday and Sunday live on the radio if you can't make it out to Marfa. So it will be a very interesting weekend, and we're really happy to be a part of it. So thank you again for joining us, Christy.
Yes, thank you so much. Look forward to seeing you, David.
Yeah.
Thank you, Christy.
Well, thank you so much as well, David, for sitting in and talking with us as well in this interview.
Yeah, I mean, we have to underline the dialogues. I mean, just the people coming in. You've got Professor Diana Lehman coming in from Tucson, Rebecca Solnit. I mean, what a writer. Michael Pollan doesn't need any explanation. Tom Rand coming down from Canada. You've got to be here. It's the only place to be this weekend.
It's going to be a great talk. And if you want even more of a preview of what's coming up this weekend, we have interviews tomorrow during Talk at 10 with Michael Pollan. He'll be interviewed by Jonik Patowski, one of our KRTS DJs and a longtime friend of Michael's. And we'll also have Tim Johnson from the Marfa Book Company in conversation with Rebecca Solnit. So that's all coming up tomorrow on Talk at 10. More previews of the Marfa Dialogues. Thank you so much for tuning in to Talk at 10 today. I'm Rachel Lindley. Stay tuned. After the top of the hour news, we'll have Rosalind Klein in for Classical Midday. Thanks for listening to 93.5 FM.